Father, we want to thank you that you have given us another day to worship you and to adore you, to give you thanks, and to come near you through your mercies and your favor and your drawing power, that we may hear what the Spirit, the Lord Jehovah, says to the churches. Open our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As we are continuing in the one of the most important topics, the time of war, I would like to recapitulate some of the things that I've already said, and quickly we'll go on to the section that I want to share with you today, and with God's help, I believe that we'll be able to finish. There's a time of war and a time of peace. We are in a time of war. And Ephesians chapter 6 says that what are the things that we need to take up and wear it as a soldier. It is not coming to church and listening to messages and going back home. In fact, there are so many churches around the world. They have no opportunity to listen to the message again, for they have no cassette ministry or video ministry, nothing, in many churches. Few, yes, they have. And very few are those who get those things and get rooted in what they have heard. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 5, we saw that the weapons of the warfare are not carnal. And there is a war, and then we need to be engaged in. And also we read in Ephesians chapter 6, there's an evil day that nobody can escape. It's not an option, it'll come. So we need to be prepared, having done all. We need to be doing everything daily so that we can stand on the evil day and resist the devil in the power the Lord has given us. We saw the first armor of God is the girdle of truth, which is God's word, and speaking the truth all the time. Openness and honesty, sincerity and frankness. And secondly, the breastplate of righteousness, which covers the heart against the soul. Again, it's the soul. The word of God is called the word of righteousness. And we need to protect our heart with the word of God. And also with faith and love. And the third armor of God is the shoes, the sandals of preparation of the gospel, which is again, the message of the gospel is the word of God. And we must be having our shoes on, which means availability and mobility. And the fourth one is the shield of faith that we need to hold, which covers our whole body. Paul was speaking of a shield, which is in the shape of a door, the size of a door. And the faith, we know, it comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. It's Rhema word. It's the revelation word. As we grow from faith to faith, Romans 1:17. For the devil throws all kinds of things into our minds to attack us, to confuse us, to bring us fear. And in our emotions, unwanted all kinds of feelings, and especially depression, fear, and try to bend our wills. And so God wants every child of God. It's no exemption that some of us will have a war, not some others won't. In fact, it is understood by many servants of God, for those who are in certain positions in the church, they will have more attack. For example, the pastor and his family will be under attack number one, because if the devil can distract him or his attack his wife, attack his children, attack him, you know, then the church will not be able to function and go forward in the mandate which God has given them, called them. But I am speaking of those others who are in the ministry, in the worship team, worship leader, organist, drummer, sound operator, all these people devil hates more severely than others, because he was granted the music ministry and worship and everything at one time. And these people need more prayer. And that's why the devil sees to it that it keeps attacking these people and keeps them most of the time. Always remember of intaking God's revelation word and getting involved in it. Now the fifth one, the helmet of salvation. That's where we are starting today, right? The helmet of salvation that we again read in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Most of us know, I think, they wear helmets when they ride motorbike. And also over here in countries like this, Canada, and in Western countries, you should wear a helmet while you are riding a bike. In our country, Asian countries, it's not. It is for protection, because the moment your head is injured, you are unable to think properly. You are unable to use your brain. And so you are crippled. You are almost paralyzed. So anybody who is, any soldier who is injured in his head, he cannot use his weapons. He's just like a vegetable, you know, they say. So the head must be protected with the helmet of deliverance. Salvation is deliverance, right? Yes. So again, the protection is for the mind, for the soul. Wear the helmet of deliverance. The Lord is our deliverance, David said. So deliverance means, salvation means preservation from danger, deliverance from sin and its consequences, healing, health, prosperity, victory, wholeness. Psalm 68, 19 and 20, David said these words, Psalm 68, 19 and 20 verses. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Daily, can you see that word? With blessings. That God our salvation, the God of our salvation, is a Selah, means pause and think. God of our deliverance. God is a deliverer. Jesus Christ, his name is the deliverer. Jesus means deliverer. Savior means deliverer. Our God is the God of salvation. Verse 20. God of deliverance. And to God the Lord belong escapes from death. You know that death is a spirit, a demon spirit. Isaiah 59, 17. Isaiah speaks. I probably believe, in my opinion, that Paul picked up from over here regarding the helmet of salvation. 59, 17. For he put on righteousness as breastplate, talking of Jesus Christ, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Jesus himself, he had the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of deliverance. We should know that Jesus Christ is the deliverer, and he has delivered me from death to life. He has delivered me from darkness to light. He has delivered me from the kingdom of the devil, translated me into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. This must be within you. Every time must be as a solid steel inside you. What has happened to you? Don't just say, I got saved such and such an year. No, it's a deliverance. You have been delivered from the hand of the devil through the blood of Jesus Christ. So wearing it means that you confess these words daily. And wearing it, when you're confessing and standing on it, your helmet is on. Don't just say, I wear the helmet of salvation and then just walk out of home. Confess these words, words of deliverance. He has clothed me. He has given me the songs of deliverance, David said. He's a deliverer. The deliverer shall come out of Judah. Isaiah said. So the helmet of salvation, helmet of deliverance, the deliverance, the revelation, that knowledge, keeping it within us, confessing it out of our mouths, is that what actually what we are doing is wearing our helmet, standing on it. I have been delivered from the hand of the devil. Do we confess it all the time? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I have been delivered from the hand of the devil. Do we say it in times of trouble? Do we say it in times of storm? Do we say it louder? No. Most of the time, no. So that means our helmet is getting weaker and weaker. It's trying to fall off our head. Through his blood, I have been delivered from devil's kingdom. I don't belong to you, devil. I've been translated. What are you doing? Keeping your helmet secure on your head. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, again it says about helmet. 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober. Be sober means don't be a fool. Don't be just coarse jesting and giggling and going around. Be sober, be serious, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation, the hope of deliverance. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith is a foundation, and out of it comes hope. The hope of salvation, the hope of deliverance. We shall be delivered from this presence of sin. When Jesus returns, we shall be delivered from this decaying body. Amen. Are you looking forward for that? You know, the other day I went to the hospital. I was just thinking, my God, what kind of a darkness is here? I see the faces of nurses and all the, oh, you know, people just whining away and just sick and sick body, elderly, old, 96, 95, 98 years old people just left with their with tubes and all kinds of things. Consequences of sin. Consequences of rejecting God. Do you know that's a consequence of sin? Even our sweat. What about the food that you eat? Can you keep that all the time? No, it has to go. That itself is humiliation. Consequence of sin. All those things. So the helmet of salvation, the hope of salvation. Do you have hope? There was a time that we had no hope. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. There was a time there was no hope. 2:12. That at that time you were without Christ, the anointed one, being aliens with the commonwealth of Christ, of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We had no God, no Christ, no hope, nothing in the world. But we were named as Christians. We were in some church, some of us. Can you see that? But without hope, without God, without Christ. See, in Daniel 3:17, those Hebrew three children, they said, God is able to deliver. They had the helmet on. They confessed it. Did they get delivered? Yes. They had the helmet on. God is able to deliver because our God is a deliverer. He's able. But if he doesn't, that doesn't matter. We won't obey you. We will not bow down to your image. They had the helmet on. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. Paul said this. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Can you see that? God permitted certain things that Paul, can you imagine a person like Paul trusting and depending on his soul, on his strength, on ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from great death and does deliver us in whom we trust, and he will still deliver us. Watch that word deliver comes three times in that single verse. See, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross became our deliverance. Colossians 1:12, 13 says, he delivered us from the devil's kingdom and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You have to memorize these scriptures and speak it out loud. I have been delivered from the hand of the devil. I have been delivered from the devil's kingdom. And I have come and I have been translated into the kingdom of God. You got to let these words go out of your mouth into the sky. It is not for people. It is for the spirit world to hear. For Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. He cannot be a high priest and intercessor into the Holy of Holies, interceding for you and me, if he hears nothing out of our mouth. All what we hear is complaints and murmurings, accusations, grumblings, backbitings, judging others. With all that we can see, some of us, honestly, we are just like these dust collectors or garbage bags. We just collect garbage all the time. Romans 6:14 says, we have been delivered from the power of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace is the favor of God. And the favor of God is a person. Who is that? The Lord, Holy Spirit. I'm so glad some of you you have started to say the Lord, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Either he is Lord within us or our soul is Lord. One or the other. Makes a big difference. Galatians 1:4, Jesus Christ has delivered us from this present evil age. This age, this time period is evil. Why is it evil? Because it's ruled by an evil king. Who is that king? Satan. Once this age finishes, his rulership will finish. One person says amen. Others are with the evil king. Can you see that? They can't say amen for that. His ministry will finish. I know in this type of period times that you will not be permitted. You will not. Most of you will get attacked. If you have a thing, you know, yes, amen. Oh, yes. So the people who are going to speed up the age coming to an end, this age, are the spirit-filled Christians who had received the last orders of Jesus Christ before he left. What is that? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The other ones, and God has been trusting every generation, or this generation will do it. Or this generation will do it. Or maybe this generation will do it. But they have been playing the fool all the time. Church programs, conferences, meetings after meetings, leadership meetings. Plenty. But getting back home with nothing. They take the notes, they give them all kinds of handouts and printed things. Nothing is followed. I remember sometimes we followed something like church growth. Some of us, we went church growth. And then God reminded me, where are those things today? Nothing. It's gone away. So we've been delivered from this present evil age. The devil attacks our emotions. We need to have the helmet of salvation. Brothers and sisters, I'm just telling you, you need to memorize these scriptures and speak it out. Just now I said his rulership will end, the devil's rulership will end when this age ends. Only one person said amen. So can you imagine how the devil attacks our mouths? Only one person said. So it is going to attack more for you and I not to say the scriptures. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I have been forgiven. I have been translated from the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of his son. He won't allow us to say at least once a day. He will suck it out, that memory. He will never. He'll make us forget. Because that's powerful. I remember one person was reading those things. And then he asked, now why should I read? So one of our church members said in that book, that confession, the daily confession, I put these words there, through the blood of Jesus Christ, I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So he said, okay, you are trying to fool us, read this. And as he read it through the blood of Jesus Christ, he was thrown from his place. He was just dived like a dolphin, I heard. The devil won't like for you to confess those things. You ask yourself, when the last time that you confessed vigorously, with full force? When it comes to prayer, you know it. Most of the time we bow our heads and just wait. Let others pray. Can you see what kind of a spiritual lethargy condition that we are in? Dull. This is for every one of you. Your battle is not with people. The devil is mad. He wants to finish up your life and mine and our future, bring it to a standstill. Not even know what God has for us in his plan. Just stay. Just crack jokes and giggle and just be involved in your own life. That's what he wants. Isaiah 61:3 says, God has given us a medicine for the depression spirit. Sometimes you come, you can't praise, you can't do anything. You cannot sing songs. You're unable to, your morose face. You just don't want to even smile. Psalm 61:3. To console those who mourn in Zion. Zion is the church. There are people who are mourning in Zion. Mourning, weeping, worrying. To give them beauty for ashes. Why ashes? Beauty for ashes. Because the devil has made their life like ashes. It's like, it's, oh pastor, my life is just burnt like a burnt down house. It's just ashes, pastor. Who can just do anything with ashes? If it's just there, a little bit block and here and there, some pillars I can do. Is everything ashes, pastor? But God says, I will give beauty for ashes. Can you see the promise? The oil of joy for mourning. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness is a demon spirit. So unknown depression, unknown feelings. And I don't feel like, you know, maybe I just, I don't know. I just don't know. It's a spirit of heaviness. It's a demon spirit of heaviness. What is the medicine? Garment of what? Praise. Open your mouth and praise. Praise God. He did not say garment of prayer, because you are unable to pray. Now there is a heaviness, this demon coming and attacking. But praise, open your mouth and sing. Put the first gear, engage it. Even though you don't like to sing, sing it. It is the medicine. When do you put the Panadol? Or I don't know, what is it? Tylenol. When you have headache, right? Even right? When you're having headache, right? Why do you want to put that one when there's nothing? God says the spirit of heaviness had to leave when you put on the garments of praise. Praise the Lord. Praise him. Doesn't matter what is happening around. Praise him. Paul and Silas were praising in the prison. Probably Silas asked him. Maybe if there's been a person... In the place of Silas nowadays, the present day person with Paul, he would have asked him, Paul, why did you go and meddle with that woman? Cast the demon out. And look what we are here now, inside prison. You cast the demon out and they have beaten us up and then inside prison. They started to praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And man, I tell you, when we praise and we sing songs of the cross, that's like pouring hot oil on the wound of Satan. That's a cross, man. The cross, the message of the cross. Hallelujah. Yeah. Those who embrace the cross and stay near. Oh, I'm just going into another message. The devil cannot come near. He will tell you, you know what? He will tell you, come down from the cross, will you? Please come down. Why? To give you a punch. If you are there, you can spit at him. Hello? But we normally, we just hear him and come down. No, I got to talk, sister. I have to defend myself. I have to be protective. That's what it is. That's what the game of life is most of the time with us. Okay. Now what do we see? The helmet of salvation. So speak these words. Speak these promises. Memorize these words. How the promises of deliverance, already taken place in our, with us, and also the future deliverances you find in Isaiah, Jeremiah, book of Psalms. Memorize and speak it out. Memorize and speak it out. Why memorize? Why you have to memorize? No, Ben, you won't have anything to speak. What are you going to speak? Mumble? You got to memorize. Otherwise, it won't come. The Holy Spirit will not do that. We have to do that. He will make us to remember. It's a ministry of remembrances. He is a remembrancer. He will remind us, but he will not make us to memorize. Are you there? Now the sixth one is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17. Oh, this is really wonderful. So my brothers and sisters, this is not just a teaching for knowledge. This is, we are studying what to do in an evil day. We have to put on the whole armor of God daily, for we do not know when the enemy will attack us. Actually, it has to be the other way about. When we, the early church, the devil was so frightened every morning or every day, just thinking, what is the church going to do today? What is Peter and John? Where are they going? Where are they going? Now it's the other way about. Now he's, you know, what is the devil going to do, brother? Maybe the devil will. Maybe. It's the other way now. At that time, the devil was so scared. That's why it bothered the people, bothered the church. But nowadays, nothing. People are just like only defensive. They are not offensive. They're trying to build without a battle. Okay, 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Say to me, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We must know, you keep it here, that Jesus Christ is the living word of God. Revelations 19:13. He is the living word of God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word was God. The word is God. So, the sword of the Spirit, this is an attack weapon. All this time we were just had those coverings and helmet to protect the air, to protect the air. Now sword is an attack weapon. Are you listening to me? It's an attack weapon. This is an offensive armor. Without this, we cannot drive away the devil. We can put on all the other armor and protect us from harm. Protect us from Satan wounding us. But we cannot drive the enemy away. We must use the sword. Please, listen, you got to use the sword. And God will expect you, the Holy Spirit, because to him more is given, more is required. So it will come and attack you in your mind. It will attack you, it will try to deceive you through other people, through other counsels of people. Whose counsel are you listening to? It will come and attack you. So you got to get the sword of the Spirit. The sword, the word of God. The Bible says the word of God is a sword. You just now read Ephesians 6:17, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Everyone, I think mostly people know that scripture, Hebrews 4:12, how the sword of the Spirit divides our spirit and soul. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul. Normally, we don't have the two-edged sword in our kitchen. We just have a knife, just one side. This is a two-edged sharpened sword, dividing the spirit and soul, division of the soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. It penetrates every area of the human personality. Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. The Holy Spirit speaks very clearly about the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. 1:16. See what John saw here. Revelations 1:16. Seeing the vision of Jesus Christ, John the Apostle writes, he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in the strength. out of the mouth of Jesus went sharp two-edged sword. It went out of his mouth. Is it going out of our mouth? Or all kinds of hellish swords coming out of our mouth? Backbiting and murmuring, complaining, accusing, finding fault, negative words, bringing the past, bringing 5 years, 10 years things, looking at the faults of people all the time. But out of the mouth of Jesus came what? A two-edged sword. What is that? The word of God. Somebody say amen. See? He's our king of, he's the king of kings, and we are kings under him. If he is having the two-edged sword in his mouth, we should have. Amen. So it's the two-edged sword, is the word of God. Revelation 19:13, as I said to you before, Jesus Christ is the word of God. So the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jehovah, takes the word of God. And when we use it, our spirit united with his spirit, the word goes forth as two-edged sword against the enemy. This is why the believers have not grown up. They all the time, they are running from one conference to the other, from one church to the other. From they listen to everything, whatever they, that still they are not satisfied. But they are not doing their job. They are not taking up their own responsibility. In the midst of all kinds of things, work, they give excuse to anything. Somebody says, oh, so much of work here, so much of that, so much of this. Oh, I am tired. Oh, I have no time. Ha, da, 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 da. But you will never be able to stand on the evil day. Evil day will come. And there is a rule God has given us. Put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. And then take the sword of the Spirit. We don't do these things. And then we tell God, Lord, you know, it's attack, attack, attack. This is what happens. See? Jesus used the sword in a very vivid way. And Matthew, Mark, and all these people, they have recorded these things. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are filled. You're sure you can expect the Lord will expose you to the enemy, that you may release your anointing, that you may learn to use your what? Sword. Wilderness is a period, a place where the Lord trains you to use the sword. Are you using the sword? You got to memorize the scriptures. We must memorize the scriptures. Memorize and memorize and keep it inside, so that the Holy Spirit will remind us to speak that word. A timely word, a timely sword. Plunge it into the heart of the enemy. Only that one drives the enemy away. So, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and after he was angry, now when the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds, present tense, present, immediate present tense. Can you see that? It's not past. It's not in the future. Proceeds. Not proceeded or will proceed. Proceeds. So that means we need to be so close to the Holy Spirit that we should be hearing him and speaking the word. Man shall live by every word, rhema, that proceeds, spoken word, from the mouth of God. The mouth of God is the mouth of the Lord Holy Spirit. So how much closer we need to be. That's why most of the time in churches, they have babes. They are still drinking, just sucking milk, you know, just a little, sometimes even diluted milk. They can't take up a little bit with fat. And therefore, the devil attacks them and they puts them down. Because they are not become matured sons. For who are the matured sons? Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Grown up sons of God. Very few, we can find them. And very few messages that we can find about the guidance of the Holy Spirit. How to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, so Jesus said, it is written, Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. No, the devil didn't go. He said, it is written. And said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. Now the devil brought one scripture. He snatched it off Psalm 91. And then spoke to Jesus. Oh yeah, you are giving me a scripture? Okay, I will speak back to a scripture. And he said this scripture, jump, so that he will send his angels to protect you. The devil will just certainly show you a scripture and make you to jump into a situation and break your leg. I'm just talking not about jumping from a building, but in any situation about buying something, about marrying someone, about going to a place, about taking up a career, anything. He will show sometimes one scripture and you just take that and say, the Lord has spoken. I know there are some young people who received lightning scriptures like this, and they gave their consent and they got hooked up. They got married and they were in trouble, and they are. One girl said, I have peace. I think the Lord is telling me this. This is okay to go with, to find afterwards they are not together. Probably that man got married for money. And I said, my Lord, how babies we are. How much little is taught about these things in the churches. We have plenty of songs, plenty of programs, plenty of everything. But then solid, uncompromising, undiluted God's word. Message of repentance. Message of soul winning. Message of dying to self. All these things have died away. People don't want to hear. They're right here. And what the answer Jesus gave. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The devil went on again when Jesus gave him the second time. He said, it is written. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give it to you if you will fall down and worship me. That's true. This was handed to him by Adam. And he is now holding these things. But Jesus has broken all his authority and power over humanity and given this message of reconciliation to go and preach it. That's responsibility is yours and mine. Verse 10, and Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then, say then, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. I want to give you some points to get from this passage. Never forget, keep it within your heart until the Lord comes. Neither Satan nor Jesus questioned about the authority of the scripture. Satan never said, I won't believe that. He never said, well, that was written by Moses. Jesus quoted the scriptures, it is written, it is written, it is written, all taken from the book of Deuteronomy, which is more attacked these days by theologians. Some of you would know. Can you see that? Jesus had these words inside his heart. Probably he memorized when he was young. And he said, it is written. So Satan never disputed, never queried or questioned about the authority of the scripture. Number two, the basis of every temptation the devil gave against Jesus was a temptation to doubt. Satan starts by saying, if you will. Always that question, if, bringing you the doubt. He will question us in our minds, what will you do if this happens? What are you going to do if you don't get any income this month? What will you do if you don't get any that, any this? What will you do? You see, if he always injects doubt. Third one, this is very important. Jesus, being the Son of the living God, did not change his method of attacking Satan. He used the sword of the Spirit. It is written, it is written, it is written, again and again and again. I'm sure if the devil spoke to him again with another temptation, Jesus would have said, it is written. He never changed the method. If the Son of the living God never changed his method, who are we to change it? How can we have our own method? Jesus never spoke of his experiences. He never told Satan, "Now look, Satan, you heard my father was speaking while I was getting baptized. You heard him. This is my beloved son. Didn't you hear?" Jesus never spoke about which rabbi taught him. He never spoke about the church. He never spoke about anything. He said, "It is written. It is written." I challenge you. You memorize the scriptures. When you go deep into the word of God, the devil will come to just test you and tempt you and attack you, starting from your family. And you know what happened? When you rise up in the spirit, when you spend time with the Lord, speaking in tongues and worshiping the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will show you the scripture or remind you the scripture. Sometimes you may have to just refer it up. You take the Bible in your hands, they will run. Why? It is the word of God. You show forth, holding out the word of life. You shine as light amidst of a crooked and perverse generation. But the trouble is this. The devil, knowing this, that's why he arranges the spirit of Pharaoh, a workforce in this Western world, and all in the other is increasing now, even in the Asian countries, keeping people busy in their work, busy in doing good things, busy in doing good things at home and outside, and attending to all kinds of things, but leaving the quality time, spending quality time with the word of God. For he knows when you take this sword out of the sheath, he's going to be in trouble. He cannot deny the scriptures. The scriptures cannot be broken, Jesus said. Cannot be broken. That's why he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. A doubt comes in. A fearful thought comes in. How are you going to attack it? It is written. And you got to speak it louder. You cannot fight that thought with your thought. You cannot think the scripture. Jesus never thought of the scriptures when the devil spoke. What did he do? He spoke. Say spoke. When you speak, you take the sheath, the sword out, and you are plunging it into the enemy. Somebody say amen. Don't fight your thoughts with your thoughts. You will never win. Don't speak your fearful thoughts or worries with others. You are not going to win. You will be bound some more. But fight those thoughts, fight those negative things with the promise of God attacking it, speaking it louder so that the Holy Spirit will rise up within us. Amen. Now, fourth one, Satan also will use the scripture to deceive us. You know, he pulled those words, jump from here that the angels will hold you, from Psalm 91. So we need to be very careful from whom we hear and what. Why? Just a lightning scripture came into our mind, or it was given by somebody, or we just saw something somewhere. I don't deny the fact that God can speak through one scripture, but you need to check it. You need to be sure. That's why we need one another. We need to watch over one another, that you need to submit to one another. You're not a one-man band. Yeah. So we need to be very careful. You just go with one scripture. And people try sometimes to come with one scripture. You know, in my early days of ministry, and I knew that God has called me. I knew that. I first I even went against the person who prophesied over me, my pastor's wife. And I said, how do you know? Because I knew nothing about prophecy. So she wept and she said, okay, don't worry, Vincent. One day God will show you. And I didn't even feel sorry for her, even though she wept. And then I came home. I was so in trouble. So I applied to all the work and other things. You know, there was a work, a bank work in Saudi Arabia. And then I had all the qualifications. In fact, more what I did. I applied. They never replied me. I waited for the reply. So I knew. So why I'm saying this is now I'm just, yes, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Come what may. I don't, money or no money, I'm going to serve you. My mother said, you having a girl, she's about 8-9 years. What are you going to do with her life? And you are going like this. You're reading the scriptures all the time. What about your life? And I said, it's okay. I don't want to listen to her. And I went on. And my father-in-law came. And 1 Timothy, he quoted a scripture. You know that? 1 Timothy 5:8. And I was bound by that. 1 Timothy 5:8. The Holy Spirit, I was preparing this. And the Holy Spirit reminded this. Otherwise, I wouldn't have thought about this. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if someone, anyone does not provide for his own, and especially of those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And when he said this, and I said, oh my God. I didn't have anything to say back. What I said, no, I don't know. God has called me. God will take care of it. That's what I said. But then he kept on sometimes saying those that scripture. But you know, and afterwards, I knew that I should have said, God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. It is written. You know, I found out about this, the power of the gospel, and I used to memorize lots of scriptures. Let me tell you, because lots of oppositions came and I had to speak the scripture. Sometimes I just take the Bible, I see the people run. My relations, I'm telling you, literally they run, they disappear. And I had to catch them running behind to catch them inside the kitchen, and they run from there. Why? Nobody can resist the word of God. When you speak by the Holy Spirit, I tell you, the devil just hates it. Hates it. So we have to memorize the scriptures. So when this scripture was spoken, if I don't provide for my family, I'm just worse than an unbeliever. Worse than an unbeliever. And I said, oh Lord, but still the Holy Spirit held my hands and he carried me through. You know, a priest asked me, what are you going to do for your future? I said, well, the Lord will provide. I know God will provide. He was my rector of St. Michael's College, main person, an American Jesuit. So I met him in the motorbike repair place. And so he said, when I said God will provide, because he knew that I had come written from England, so he got angry because I'm trying to tell him God will provide, but he is too much for you. I know that. But what's the income is going to be? I said, in Luke 22:35, I don't know from where this scripture came to me. When Jesus asked those disciples, when I sent you with empty bags, without that, without this, did you lack anything? And they said, no, Lord. And as I finished saying this, this man walked away from me. He was with his cloak of the priest. Never spoke to me after that. Can you see the power of the scripture? It is written. It is written. You see, apart from this, Jesus always spoke according to what was written. For every question asked by the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the others, Jesus always took them back to the scripture. He will say, how did you read? What did David do? What did he do when he was angry? You know, I neither know the scriptures nor the power of God. You don't know it. So he all the time referred to the scriptures. He lived on the written, the word of God, and Satan could not deny it. They both accepted the authority of the scripture. Satan and definitely the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians 6:17, the word sword of the spirit, the word of God, is a spoken word. It is not the word that is written in your Bible and the Bible is in your shelf or underneath your pillow. That has no power. You can keep the Bible underneath your pillow or inside a small Bible inside your bag. That's not going to help the devil run. You will never make the devil run just because you carry a Bible with you. I carry the Bible, Pastor, but I have no time to read it. I just carry. It just gives me a little bit of a nice feeling. Is it right? There's no power. The word has to come out of your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. And the spirit that's upon you, I will never remove it. 59:19 Isaiah. But we don't do it. We don't use the sword. And so we are troubled in our minds. There's division, confusion, depression, all kinds of things. That's why the words of all these things, division and accusations come in our mouths. Because we don't use the sword. So the spoken word must be with us all the time. We need to speak the word of God just like Jesus Christ. See, this is why the devil sent distractions after distractions to neglect the word, to steal the word, to steal the desire for the word, steal the word, not to give first place to the word, choke the word, doubt the word, destroy the word, and to misuse the word. All these things you can find in the parable. That's why the word is sucked out. If the word is taken away, there is no foundation for us. There is no sword. We cannot drive away the devil. So brothers and sisters, I'm just telling you, if we are not getting deeper into God's word, memorizing it, keeping it, and using it with our mouth, we are not going to get the devil out of our presence. He's going to come to attack, but we will not be able to drive him away. We can wear all the other armor, but that won't drive him. We can protect ourselves, but the thing that drives him away is the spoken word of God. Say amen. Now, all these things, we have the protection and everything, the armor of God. There is one place that is empty, our back. This place is empty. God has not provided anything here. You know why? The fellow believer, the soldier behind you, has the responsibility to protect our back. But most of the time, they have all kinds of big wounds in their back because of biting the back. Words spoken behind. Words, accusations. Did you hear that? But don't tell Pastor. Don't tell him. Let it be. We will just pray. Let him not know. So they start backbiting and backbiting. Backbiting is biting the back. Simple as that. Or criticizing, accusations, all these things. They come. They say most of the time the soldiers, God's soldiers, are wounded in their backs. And many ministers have died because of backbiting. And they say one of them was Catherine Kuhlman. It's too much of backbiting. When you backbite, when we talk evil about a leader or anyone, we release demon spirits out of our mouth. They come and then trouble us, bring confusion to the family, confusion in their minds, unable to pray. They get just don't have the feeling to read the word. Just attack. So just attack. Do you know witches and wizards in this country like England, Germany, especially Canada, United States, they pray against the servants of God's families. They pray against pastors, Satan worshippers. Yes. They even say that they have, somebody told me that they have a day like Tuesday. You know, not that they are not going to do it in the other days, but you should know all these things. Don't play the fool. We are in the battleground. We are in a time of what? Battle, war. And we need to wear all this armor. See, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of salvation, right? The shield of faith, hope of salvation, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to attack the enemy. We need to memorize. Memorize the blood scriptures. Memorize the scriptures on deliverance. The Lord is my salvation. He is my deliverer. He is my shelter. He is my strong tower. We need to memorize these things. In whom I will trust. He, O Lord, is the Lord who is my helper. What shall man do to me? What can he do to me? He just a flesh. The Lord is my helper. He has said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, I will look to him. We need to speak out. We need to speak out. Those of you who decide not to speak out, you will never drive the enemy away from your presence. May the Lord help you to understand these things and remind you to use these things. And watching one another, watching or praying for one another, we should get into the center of God's will in this final battle getting more souls into the kingdom. And finally, one, the last soul is saved, the rapture would have already taken place. Boom! That trumpet sound. Those who are waiting for him, those who are in his will, those who have been delivered from their own desires, what we sang, they will be caught up. May the Lord bless you. Amen.